Comedian Don Jameson is going to join us. We'll revisit some prank calls as well. And we have the news coming also.
I went out with this girl and she's like, I just wanted to let you know I Googled you before the date. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I got nothing to hide. Plus, I pay a company to wipe all that shit off the internet anyway. She's like, well, you probably Googled me to make sure that I wasn't a serial killer. I'm like, I've been dating for 35 years. Most of the fun I'm getting out of tonight is the fact that I might be on a date with a serial killer. She had crazy eyes. I'm like, I'm either going to have the best time of my life or I'm going to be on Forensic Files next week.
Don Jameson is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Don's got some live dates we'll get into. Also, the comedy album Terrorizing Telemarketers 7 with our friend Jim Florentine, right?
You got it, man. Debuted at number one.
Hell yeah.
I think we have a clip from that. Yeah, we ran Ira and, of course, That Metal Show. I probably first crossed paths with Florentine doing Crank Yankers, and then I think it was from him doing crank calls back in the day. And then he was a special ed, and then he would do the Belch thing.
Yeah, I guess they're not allowed to do special ed anymore. So those days are gone, Adam. But
I know. I would sit in the recording studio with him when he would do the Belch guy.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the best ones ever.
Bobby Fletcher.
One of the best ones ever is when some guy he was calling for a job interview for thought there was another guy in the office that was doing it and not Jim, which is inexplicable. Like, I don't, because you would never think that they would think that, but somehow they thought that. But he would sit there with a can of Diet Coke, and the guy'd be, he'd go like, and so what are the hours? And the guy'd go, well, on Tuesdays, and he would be chugging this Coke, and then he'd go, and then he drank 17 cans of Diet Coke because he had to muster the belch.
Yeah, well, that's what the thing is. He lulls people into this false sense of security, like, well, I'm on my cell phone, so I don't know. It can't be coming from my end. And they actually believe, all right, it must be coming from my end of the thing. So, you know, that's the thing with telemarketers. If you keep a straight face and you stay in character, they have to believe you no matter what the situation is.
Right. And you know what I really realized with prank calls is you didn't have to offer a lot of excuse. Like, you could say, I'm calling a therapist and I have a conjoined twins and one of them wants to be a nun and the other one wants to follow the teachings of Santeria. And they go, is this a joke? And then I'd go, I wish it was. And then we were done. That's all I had to say is essentially, no, I wish it was a joke. And then we're done with that part of it. We're moving on.
Yeah, well, they're looking up and down on their script. Like, how do I handle half Santeria, half whatever.
It's not on the flow chart.
Yeah, it's not on the flow chart. But, hey, we're just happy. Look, we're middle-aged guys making prank calls for a living. God bless America, man.
I think we have a one-minute clip of you guys talking to a solar panel telemarketer.
This is a perfect example of what you just said.
Okay, good.
Hello?
Hello, this is Leonard calling on a recorded line about the interest in solar for the home.
This is on a recorded line, you said?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay, may I get your street address so I can see how that roof lies?
What's a roof?
Hi, it's the supervisor, Leonard. It's pronounced roof. We don't say roof at this company, Leonard. Thank you.
Listen, sir, if you want to continue with this...
I do. I'm asking you a question about an address, and we're talking about the roof and the sun.
I informed you that it all depends upon the exposure to your sun on the roof.
I don't know what a roof is.
Roof. Okay, sir.
Okay, but it says on a recorded line, does it not?
No, I said on a recorded line.
Right. So it's on a recorded line. That means somebody else on your end is listening.
Yes, the supervisor is listening, Leonard. Let's close this sale, buddy.
Hey, buddy. See, that's on your end. Goodbye.
We're just trying to talk about it. You can't even pronounce the word roof.
Leonard, clean out your desk. You're fired.
Clean out such a desk.
Let's close this one, buddy.
The sad part is people don't even have desks anymore. Yeah. You used to be able to clean something out.
With the banker's box.
That's right.
With the plant, the frame.
The fake wood grain on the side of the cardboard.
Right. Yeah. Has a lid sometimes.
And we taped that on a Friday. So I wonder if like he just didn't show up on Monday. And people are like, what happened to Leonard? I know, he got fired from some supervisor we never heard of before.
I'm having a vague memory of some of the best prank calls are the guys who would get the number for an airline trouble hotline or like the UPS hotline. You can look around for it, Chris. I can't remember the dude who did it. I'm sorry I'm putting you in this position. But what somebody would do is they would get the UPS hotline for lost packages, and that number would be the number. And what they would do is they would get one number off that number, which would mean with the volume of calls that they would get twice a day out of thousands of calls, that phone would ring because the person misdialed by one digit. And, of course, they only answered that phone UPS helpline. And then they would go, and now they're in. Now they're like off and running, but who the?
Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but I think he's from like South Carolina or something. And yeah, he just happened to have the number. And so he realized people are calling for UPS all the time.
Oh, he didn't even do it on purpose.
Yeah, so he just started recording the calls. And I think he does this character named Willie or something, who's obviously real abrasive.
Yes, yeah.
And just driving everybody mental because they're not getting their packages.
And people are calling up wanting to know, like they ordered a diamond engagement ring and it hasn't showed up and Willie's yelling at them. And
Well, if you order an engagement ring off of Amazon,
yeah, you're probably right.
It's probably best if it doesn't show up.
Go to Costco where the high rollers hang. Yeah, it was Willie, Chris, and it must have been season one or something of Crank Anchors. But anyway, so prank calls, tour dates. It's nice to know that in 2022, there's still some prank calling out there. I feel like it's a lot like vinyl, tying it into your two loves, you know what I mean? Like, I like the idea that people buy vinyl records still in 2022.
Yeah, well, I don't do drugs. I don't go to prostitutes. You know, so I figure, all right, if I spend money on vinyl, that's cool.
Are you a vinyl guy?
Totally, yeah.
Can you hear the difference?
You know, it's funny, man. You know, you've had my partner Eddie Trunk from That Metal Show on. Like, he listens to something. He's got those radio ears, and that's EQ'd 1 megahertz too loud. And like, I'm not that guy, man.
Right.
But I can hear the difference, man. When I put a record on my turntable, and I like the whole ceremony of it. Mm. You know, like how heroin addicts say they like the whole ceremony with the needle and all that stuff.
There's a foreplay.
It's the same thing.
Sure. Yeah. Also, there is something that the kids are missing out on today, which is you pick that album from the 70s or even the 80s, even if it's a popular band like the Police or something, there'll be some cuts on that record that you will buy the record for this cut and that cut. But at some point, you will start to fall in love with the deeper cut that you never heard on the radio before, and that kind of becomes your cut with the band. And I would argue that if you went back now and listened to some of those deeper cuts that never got spins on the radio from your youth, you would have a much stronger reaction than the one that's played ad nauseum on the 80s channel.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm a huge Cheap Trick fan, but I would never listen to Surrender or I Want You to Want Me if I'm sitting home alone.
Right.
You know, I want to hear deep cuts. I want to hear Hot Love, He's a Whore, you know, Tonight It's You, stuff like that.
Yeah, you want... It just hits you on some sort of weird visceral level. And I think now we cut out all the foreplay and we just go right for the hits. And it's faster, but I don't think it's better. I think that process is better to having to listen to some of those deeper cuts and the foreplay of putting the record on. And
yeah.
And don't be too committed to whatever you're doing because you're going to have to get up and flip the record.
Well, yeah, but, you know, a record side could be 20, 25 minutes.
True, that's part of the fun.
You can finger bang a chick that fast.
That's twice.
I mean, you don't have to get up that quickly.
Oh, yeah. Gina?
Yeah. And, three times.
At least.
Touchtone Terrorist. That's what it was. Yeah. Peter Zong and DeZong. DeZoggy. I guess.
Yeah, so he purchased a series of 1-800 numbers that were one different digit.
Oh, he did.
One digit different than the actual customer service numbers for companies like UPS, an oil change business, an auto insurance claim support line, a psychic hotline, a pen manufacturer.
I respect him even more now.
Do we have a UPS with Big Willie somewhere?
Yeah, we have the audio for it.
So yeah, it'll make you laugh.
Yeah, it is Willie. Can I help you?
Yes, I'm trying to track a package that was supposed to be delivered to my sister.
When was it supposed to get there?
It was supposed to get to her address on the 17th.
On the 17th?
Yeah, but they didn't make their first attempt until the 20th.
Yeah, well, whose fault is that? It's 3 days late. You should have sent it sooner.
I sent it on the 13th.
You should have sent it on the 10th then. Now, whose fault is that?
It's not my fault.
Oh, come on. That's your fault, not ours. You dreaming. You think you're going to get there on the 13th. You should have sent it a little sooner.
Excuse me.
You should have.
Can I speak to your supervisor?
You should have sent the damn thing a little sooner.
Give me your supervisor.
Yeah, hold on. Hey, talk to this customer.
Hello, this is Jim Bob, the supervisor. Can I help you?
I'm trying to find my sister's package.
I'm not the mail room. Let me transfer.
And I... Oh, this is a game.
Yeah, this is Willie. Can I help you?
Oh, you again.
I told you should have sent the damn thing a little sooner. I ain't some hula hoop eyed, chicken neck looking jive turkey.
I don't care who the hell you are. I'm a customer that paid good money to get that package in there. I got a tracking number. Just find the package and tell me where the hell it is.
Listen, this is my last week in customer service. I don't give a damn where that. Maybe it fell
off
the truck.
Well, give me somebody that does.
Maybe it's floating down the river.
Well, give me somebody that does give a damn. How's that?
Maybe I'd find your package. I'd flush the damn thing down the toilet. You're going to yak and complain.
Me? I didn't spend that damn money for that shit not to be given to my sister.
What? Come on, calm your ass down.
Calm my ass down? You're the one that's giving me lip and attitude just because I'm the one goddamn know where the hell my package is.
Hey, you should have said the damn thing.
I don't give a when the hell I said that damn thing. It was supposed to be there Friday. It never showed up. Now give me somebody that gives a damn, or you're going to see somebody that doesn't give a damn.
Now you sounding like my old lady.
I don't give a goddamn rat's ass who the hell I sound like in your family. I want somebody that gives a goddamn. I spent money. I want some information now.
You calm your ass down
By the way,
you sounding like my old lady.
Just pause it for a second. My role in this in life would be the guy who's sitting in the living room watching SportsCenter, hearing this from 14 feet away in the kitchen, going, oh, Jesus Christ. But I love this woman.
Oh, yeah. She's a pistol.
She's a fucking – I want – first off, I would hire her, and I want to release the Kraken with her. Like, if anyone fucks you over, send her.
Yeah.
But it's so diabolical because – the prank call, there's always – you can't have the question mark looming. When you call the place and you pick it up as UPS customer service
– then that's what it is.
It is – the hook is set and there's no turning back. She doesn't stop. No matter how outrageous he gets, she'll never stop and go, wait a minute. Did I – all right. Let's hear her yell a little more. I like her.
Emily, I want somebody to give the goddamn – I spent money. I want some information. Now.
You calm your ass down right now. You sounded like my old lady did.
I don't care.
Hey, come on. Come
don't
on,
get
lady.
Me, oh, come on.
I told you you should have sent the damn
thing. My old recollection, her ass should have got that damn thing with the way it was sent. I have tracking numbers. I checked on the internet what the hell you guys did. I want to know where the hell it is now.
I told you the thing in transit. What more do you want to know?
What do you mean in transit?
Because I just figured out probably what it's doing, but you didn't send the thing soon enough, so it's
all right.
I guess you should have sent it with Federal Express next time. That's what you did wrong.
No, I want some honest answers, and I want somebody that can give it to me, and that's not going to be you, so I want somebody that will.
Fine, I'll get the supervisor then. Damn, this lady, she's driving me crazy.
Hello, this is Jim Bob. Can I help you?
Yeah, Jim Bob. It's me again.
Oh, did I transfer you the wrong?
Yeah, you transferred me. I'm not getting any information.
Let me get you the money.
Oh, wait. Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, this Willie, can I help you?
All right. Well, there you go.
Fantastic.
Well, you got to get it to the point of rage.
Yeah. Yes.
Like if she would have hung up after the first minute or so, that's not a call.
No.
Right.
You got to really bring out like the homicidal rage in people.
You got to break them.
When she gets to the point that says, you tell me what I need to know or I'll show you someone who doesn't give a damn. That's fucking awesome.
You got to break them like a pet. You
know? Yes.
So there's a point where UPS tried to stop the sale of these CDs.
Oh, sure.
Through a series of letters demanding, among other things, that all inventory of these CDs be delivered to UPS lawyers for destruction.
Wow.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, because UPS believed that many of these CDs involved customers who thought they were speaking to UPS customer service reps.
That's why it's funny.
An artist having to deliver your product so it can be destroyed is like having your hands registered in Nevada. It may sound bad, but that is a tip of the cap that you're out there pushing society's buttons.
Yeah, he should have said, we sent them already. They should have came there on the 17th.
That's right. Chris, did they
drop? Yeah, so the record company refused to comply on the basis that the CDs are protected parody and the calls were recorded legally. Peter consulted with several attorneys regarding various legal issues to make sure that what he was doing was within legal grounds. So all subjects gave their permission to have their voices on the CDs and were paid well.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you got to get the clearance. Yeah, do you have to go back and get the clearance?
Well, technically on incoming, you don't.
Yeah.
Oh, on incoming.
That makes sense.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but that's how, you know, crank anchors, you guys had to get the releases on everything,
they had to go to a different state.
Yeah, my favorite.
Oh, that's right. You had to go
two-party
to
consent.
To Nevada,
Chris,
right?
You can probably find this one, which is season two, Kevin Nealon called people who were terrorized in season one and told him he was an attorney who was representing a class action suit against the producers of Crank Yankers. And these people are like, no, like, I'm not doing it again. Like, you're not going to get me again.
But whose voice is more earnest than Kevin Nealon?
Yeah, and he would get the people because, like, they'd go, you know, I think he'd say to them, are you ever frightened when the phone rings? Are you scared to pick up the phone? And they went like, not really. And then he'd go, there's a lot of money at stake here. You may want to think about it. And then they'd go, well, sometimes, when the phone rings. Like, I don't remember much of the nuts and the bolts of that call. I do remember doing that session with Nealon when we called people back to have them sue us.
That's a great twist up. Now, if anybody wants to sue me in Florentine, please, we could use the publicity. So definitely get your lawyer on the phone.
Yeah, we'll see if we can find that one. Let me put some dates out for you. Tampa, Florida, Side Splitters Comedy Club. That's coming up December 1st. And Boca Raton while we're out there. Boca Black Box, and that'll be December 2nd and 3rd. And DonJameson.com is where you go. Don, what's your you're a writer for Lisa Lampanelli, who we love. Also, how's writing for Lisa Lampanelli work? I mean, is it all just racist jokes?
Some dick jokes.
And some dick jokes.
Not all.
Mm-hmm.
I started out doing like the roast with her.
Ah.
So that's where it started because I did a couple of the early ones on Stern. And then as it got bigger and bigger, they started bringing bigger guns like Lisa and Colin Quinn and everybody and Greg Giraldo. And she was I wrote for the Gary roast and I didn't get invited on. So I sent them to Lisa. I go, just want these jokes to have a good home. And she read them. And I go, I don't want payment for or anything. And she goes, no. She goes, not only am I going to pay you, you're going to be my writer from now on for all the roasts. So I wrote for a lot of stuff for her.
The roast, we were talking the other day about writing for the Oscars, and the roasts are kind of the same way in that most guys write their own stuff, except for James Corden, and that kind of stuff. And you do your own stand-up. But when it comes to the roast, you really need a little team. Like, you really do need a group. It's like the monologue for the Oscar. For some reason, that requires a group of people that are in your corner writing those jokes.
I kind of liked being a little behind the scenes on the roast because then, you know, then nobody hates you afterwards. You know?
Right.
Like when I wrote for Lisa for they had a roast for Gene Simmons when he had his Family Jewel show. And I'm a Kiss fan since I'm 11. So I wrote like 25 pages of Kiss jokes instantly. And they were just awful. And Lisa went up and did them. And it was great, of course, because she was, you know, one of the roast masters of all time. And then afterwards, I get to meet Gene as a fan. And mm-hmm. He has no idea that I wrote all those awful things and get a picture with him. And then I'm good. But I did a roast at a rock festival because I do a lot of those because of that metal show and stuff. And we did a roast of Corey Taylor, who's the singer in Slipknot. Mm-hmm. But the roast master that they hired was Sebastian Bach, mm-hmm. who had no idea good that boy. He was going to be an easy target.
Right.
He got so mad at me that I'm up there roasting him. And next thing I know, I just look out of my corner of my eye. I see something hurtling at me through space. And something hits my shoulder and I get this warm feeling all over myself, like I just peed myself after drinking. And the dude was so mad, he hurled a coffee at me.
Really?
Yeah, he was so friggin' pissed. I'm like, I liked it better when I was just the guy writing the stuff, you know.
People think that the subject of the roast is the one who's going to be roasted. Yeah,
right.
But it's a 60-40 split.
There's plenty to go around.
Plenty to go around. I mean, Lisa would get destroyed up there as well. I've been destroyed. Anybody goes up there. And I got a lot of gay sex with Jimmy Kimmel jokes.
But were not true.
That was a go-to. Yeah, that was a go-to thing. Can you find that Nealon?
No, I'm not finding anything in the descriptions, but he's been on a lot of Crank Anchors episodes.
Did that one not make it to air? You just remember it being recorded?
I remember recording it. I do remember Nealon had his Compass Buddy one, which was always quietly funny. He would call people at all the furthest latitudes, north, south, east, and west, and then just request right. that they be his compass buddy, and that he would call every day at noon, and they would kind of report in on how it was going. And he'd call people.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Deep Alaska, and they would agree that they would be around, and that he could call at noon tomorrow, and they would be his compass buddy, which is. It seems insane, but
kind of sweet.
It's sweet. And it's also, you know, you call New York or Chicago, everyone's in a hurry.
Right.
You call parts of Alaska, they're happy.
They got time.
Called. They got time.
Yeah, we got a call on the new Terrorizing Telemarketer CD. The last track 13, it's our Stairway to Heaven. You know, most of the calls are 3 minutes or 3.5 minutes or whatever. This call is 18 minutes.
Whoa.
Because this guy psychologically dissects Florentine and I to such a degree that he should have got a master's degree after the end of this phone call. Like, we set him up in a situation where Jim's on the phone with him, then he goes to get some food at the door, and then I come on and I confess that it's a thing for a mortgage and he wants to get a house with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I come on, I confess to having an affair with Jim's girlfriend while he was out of town. And then he comes back, and then I'm still on the phone, and I ask the guy, could you tell Jim what I just told? I don't want to tell him. I don't know how to say it to him. And he goes, why would you ask me? I'm like, I don't know. You talk to a lot of people all the time. Maybe you could break it to him better. And that leads to an 18-minute
I love it when you can enlist the people you're calling to help you do your bidding, which reminded me of one. I think it may have been Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman. I think Jimmy called like a porn shop and he wanted to know like what the latest butt plugs and dildos and stuff were. But his mom would pick up the other phone and be like, who are you talking to? What's going on? And then at some point he'd be like, mom, I'm just ordering food. I'm just ordering food. Hang up. And she'd go, oh, okay. And she'd hang up. And then at some point Jimmy'd go, thanks for, you know, not saying anything. You understand it's embarrassing and stuff. And then at some point she'd pick up the phone again. And, well, if you're ordering food, I want something too. And then she'd go, what kind of restaurant is this? And he'd be like, it's Italian. And he'd go, do you have baked ziti? And she'd be like reading. He'd be now have to give her the specials from the porn shop on the Italian restaurants. Like, I just love it when you can get them
involved.
Involved. Yes. Yes.
We do a similar thing with called lunch specials, a track on here where, you know, like every diner has 500 things.
Right.
That, especially Jersey diners. So I just had the menu up and Jim, you know, the telemarketer calls and Jim's like, yeah, I'm just having a late lunch during the day. And I'm the waiter who keeps giving him lunch specials, but it's endless, one after the other. Right. And then finally he's like, miss, could you calm this guy down? Can you tell him to just leave me alone? Now she's on the phone with me.
Right.
I'm this waiter, you know, and I'm like, listen, miss, I got to get through these specials. I just got one more. Otherwise, I'm going to get in trouble. And then I give her the lunch special to read back to Florentine.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
And then she says grilled onions. And I go, no, they're fried. You know, it's just...
What was that? What was the Sarah Silverman, Jimmy Kimmel porn shop one? Oh, you can look around for that one. But there is – there's a craft to it, which is getting them involved and setting that hook and pulling them in. And it's hard to tell in advance what's going to work and what's not going to work. You just have to go do it.
Yeah, you can't really plan out because you don't know what they're going to say. So I just figure, oh, let's set up the situation in the diner for that one in particular. But you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to go down. You just kind of have to, you know, go with the flow and see what happens. But again, at the end, it's just about the rage.
But yes.
Logistically, yours are incoming, right?
Yeah.
How does that – how? How do you know when it's going to happen?
Most people are on the do not call list. We're on the please call list.
Got it.
But we haven't made a CD since like 2017, and we do them at Florentine's house. And
he
has an extra line, so it's so funny. So when we decided, you know, during COVID, we're like, we're going to do another one. I was like, do you still have that line? He goes, yeah, but I haven't plugged the phone in a while. The first day I went over, he plugged it in, and literally the phone started ringing.
Wow.
And it was awesome. The same exact companies from when we left off.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Well, all comedians of a certain age started doing these calls early and often. Have you what was the most outraged a person has ever been on one of these calls?
On volume 4 of this terrorizing telemarketer series, we have a guy who gets so pissed he threatens to come down and blow our head off with a shotgun.
Mm.
That's how pissed. And then he calls back again. And he just started, but you could tell he found like an empty office because at the first time, I'm going to come down there and blow your head off with a shotgun.
Mm.
And then he calls back in an office and he's like, okay, where's your roommate? Why are you guys fucking with me? And he goes, no, my roommate's in the bathroom. What is he brushing the cum out of his teeth? And he just starts calling us, you know, fags and stuff like that. And like he goes nuts. So safe to say it's probably his last day on the job.
We have the Kimmel Silverman call that made me laugh. Is Kimmel's calling in and Sarah's playing the mom?
Correct. Yeah, I think. Yeah, that's right.
Sorry. This guy at the Castle Megastore.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Good, thanks. You have those pumps for the penis, the suction penis enlarging pumps?
Yeah, we sure do.
You do. That's great. And what's the price range on those things?
They range anywhere in price from about $30 up to, for a whole set, probably about $500-$700.
Whoa, $500-$700. Hold on a second. Hey, Mom, hang up the phone.
I'm sorry.
I'm on the phone. Please hang up.
Who's that? Who is the voice?
Don't worry who it is. Just hang up the phone. I'm on the telephone.
Well, now I have to know.
It's a pizza place. I'm ordering a pizza, okay? Please hang up the phone.
Well, I was making dinner.
I know you're making dinner. I want to order a pizza. Do you mind if I eat a pizza? I'm 35 years old. Thank you. Anyway, $700?
Yeah, the Boston Pumps for the...
What's the name of that one?
Boston Pump Works.
And how does that work exactly?
You put your cock balls in there. Pump it. The suction.
You know what? Al, if you're not going to get pizza, I'll have pasta.
Hang up the phone.
If you're going to get pizza, I'll have pasta. Do
okay,
pasta
I'll
too,
order you pasta. Hang up the phone, please.
Well, what kind?
Jesus Christ. What kind of pasta do you have?
Well, we've got lasagna.
They have lasagna. You like lasagna.
No, because it has cheese. What's the tubes?
It's rigatoni or something. You have rigatoni?
Yeah, we sure do.
They got rigatoni, okay? I'll get you a rigatoni.
That's not the tubes.
That is the tubes. It's the big tubes. It's the thick ones. You want the penne? Do you have penne?
Yeah, we sure do.
They have penne. Is that what you're looking for, the thin tubes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can you hang up, please?
Well, I'd like to have a sauce on the tubes. This is what my son does. He's a patient. What kind of sauces do you have?
We have the marinara sauce and the Alfredo sauce.
They got the marinara and the Alfredo, okay?
That's it? Those are, I have two choices?
Yeah, that's all we have.
That's all they have. What do you want?
Marinara?
Please. Okay. Marinara. We'll get you an order of the penne with marinara, okay?
And the side salad.
All right, thanks. Hang up, Mom.
What?
Hang up. I need to finish
giving
the order.
Because I wanted a side salad.
Please hang up. Just hang up, okay? Oh, this woman. Thank you for doing that, by the way.
It's not a problem.
I appreciate it. So the penis pump, the Boston pump, it's $700. Is it worth it?
Well, the pieces, you buy the pieces individually.
It's like Legos that you would put your dick into.
Yeah, kind of.
Right. Okay.
I like to prefer, you know, like, it's more of like an erector set.
It's more like an erector set. Okay. It's like an erection set is what it's like.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Can I return this if it doesn't enlarge my penis?
What enlarges your penis?
Hang up the
phone. Does the pizza enlarge your penis? You buy more toys? And you don't have enough under your bed that's in my house?
I told you to hang up the phone. Now hang it up. I'm having a personal call here. Please hang up the phone.
I'm not hanging up my phone.
I pay the phone bill. I pay for my own calls. This man is on the telephone. He's trying to do business. Hang up. You take credit cards?
Yeah, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express.
Okay, I'll be by around 8 then.
All right, you have a good night.
I'll see you then.
Goodbye.
Oh, that's triumphant.
It's a great call.
I thought I saw most of the Crank Anchors calls. I've never seen that one.
I forgot. I mean, there were so many over the years.
The Wu-Tang is
classic. The Wu-Tang, the Chappelle. Yeah.
I was on a couple, too.
Which ones were you on?
Were you on first
season?
No, when it moved over to like MTV Live or whatever.
Yes.
Remember it moved over there? Most people sort of remember that time. There was a call Still on the Phone, which was one from one of our CDs.
Oh, we used one from your CD.
Two of them, yeah.
Oh, two of them.
But you know, Special Ed came from these CDs too. Originally.
Oh. I didn't know that
really?
Originally. No.
But we just called them retard because we didn't have a name for them. You guys call them special ed.
Well, we have a certain finesse.
Yeah, certain standards.
Certain standards.
Come on, Don.
All right. We'll take a quick break with Don and we'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grant. News with Gino Grant. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Big news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Okay, everybody, flush those lottery tickets for the most part. The winning ticket for the record $2.04 billion. The Powerball lottery jackpot was sold in Altadena, California, 10 minutes from here, if that.
My dad lives in Altadena.
I love Altadena. Whoa.
Trumpets you could buy with
that. Oh, God, he'd be
money.
Swimming in them. They said that on Tuesday, making the lucky ticket winner the largest lottery prize ever. So far, there is one.
Whoa.
It's not a thousand. It's one. The ticket was sold at a Joe's Service Center. Results posted to the Powerball website similarly said there was one winner who matched all six numbers in California. The odds of that, 1 in 292.2 million.
Hell yeah.
Yep. Lottery players, though, urge not to throw that stuff away yet because there's lots of little prizes. Little. Totaling up to 98 million. That has, you know, a couple of $1 million prizes. Some other power. White Powerball hasn't been claimed.
White Powerball.
They should really call it.
They got to work on that one.
White Supremacy Powerball, maybe.
As I was saying.
It's the White Powerball. Yeah. We should get them together with
the gala.
The Black Caucus.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Do you think that's what they call their end of the year gala, the White Powerball?
Welcome to our annual White Powerball.
And then you come out.
We're having your support throughout the year.
Across the street, they have the big swinging Black Caucus, which is also having an event, you know? We got a big band this year.
You got to walk way around that building.
That's oh, right. Shit. So, yeah. So, we. I said this yesterday. I'm 99% sure I was correct, though you never know with me, that this is a state, California is a state, where you cannot claim it anonymously, but you do have a year. So maybe wait for it to die down and then go claim it.
Would you send up a person to go claim it for you? Could you do that?
I don't know.
I mean, the name could get out there.
There's no way they would allow that, because then every fraudster would try to do that, right?
Well, if you have the ticket.
Well, just wear a giant COVID mask.
Like that.
I'm still worried about COVID.
Is there a person on this earth you trust enough not to abscond with that ticket?
To hire a lawyer.
No, I think what you would do, I think protocol is if, you know, whenever you see those porn movies where they're trying to set the record for the biggest gangbang. Mm-hmm. It's always four of the guys in line are wearing a bear head.
Yeah.
Because they're like
a Mexican wrestling mask.
They're like, mutually, you know, I'm a special needs school teacher and I don't, you know, want this getting out. I still want to engage in this.
So, I got to be laying the white power ball at the end of the year.
Yeah. Don the Klan hood. Like, I maybe just go up there with a big Darth Vader helmet or something.
That's a good idea. Well, since we're on odds, I've been wanting to tell the story for a couple days just because it's insane. And we'll tell you what the odds are of this happening to you as opposed to winning the Powerball. Dustin Procida's home near Sacramento, California, destroyed recently by what was likely a meteor hit.
Wow.
And I have a picture of the farmhouse that was destroyed.
Sure.
It is destroyed. According to NASA, this weekend saw this peak of torrid meteor shower, and it appears that one of them slammed right into this guy's farmhouse. He says he heard a big bang, started to smell smoke, noticed his porch was engulfed in flames. Earlier, witnesses reported to see a fireball light up the sky. Procida and his wife were lucky to get out of the house unharmed, while firefighters fought the blaze for hours. Unfortunately, one of the dogs died in the fire. Now let's talk about the odds of this.
Mad at you at this point.
That's right. In terms of a meteor hit, a meteor slamming into your house is about 1 in 4 trillion. Like I said, the Powerball odds, 1 in 292 million. So,
well,
this
especially
guy,
when your house is 12 by 12,
that's right.
It's like a prison cell.
That's right.
It's as wide as a custom van.
Well, that's a farmhouse, right?
Yeah.
But is he living in the?
Yeah, it's not a barn. I mean,
lucky to get out.
Those look like troughs there in the middle. I thought he had like livestock in there.
I think
he's
living in there.
I feel like they call it a barn.
Okay.
That's a good. Wait, would that be what Brian's looking at? Be anything subterranean or like under the floor?
I can't tell what we're looking at. Judging from what we're seeing, he didn't look like he was fully insured. I don't think he had meteor insurance.
No, probably not.
He may have had flood.
Yeah,
flood and fire.
Fire, but I don't know if he had meteor.
You're right.
And it's going to be a funny argument with the insurance company, right?
With the J.K. Simmons commercials. We've seen it.
Professor Burke.
Yeah, we've had it.
I see Joanna Gaines all over this.
Oh,
this is a
week
of specials.
Shiplap
on HGTV.
As far as the eye can see.
I made a fire to show my home. Well, sir.
Yeah, act of God is what the adjuster's calling it. Yeah.
I mean, it did say their porch, so that would infer that they live there.
Yeah. No, I guess they did live in there. Pretty rural looking for 2022. But that was, and they must have found a chunk of the rock or something, right?
I think they said there was still like a piece smoldering, like some rock smoldering.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Superman.
It doesn't, you know, much like a .22 caliber bullet could put down a professional wrestler. Yeah. It doesn't take much meteor to take out your house.
Mm.
Just, you know, 3,000 miles an hour and red hot.
Right. That'll
something
do it.
The size of a pumpkin would definitely fuck your house up.
Yeah.
And the truck.
And the truck.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Truck took a beating.
Yeah.
All right. So those are your odds for the day.
You guys aren't old enough, but remember Skylab was coming down for a while in the 70s.
What's that?
It was the 70s.
Early 80s, I think.
Oh, early 80s. Yeah, or late 70s, early 80s. We'll figure it out. But Skylab was something we launched, and it made its way around the universe for a while, and at some point, it was coming in.
Oh.
And there's a lot of speculation as to where Skylab was going to hit, and it turned into a whole thing. Well, you know, guys were selling batting helmets, you know, with a bullseye on it and stupid stuff. And but they didn't know if it was going to hit Texas or hit the ocean or hit Middle East. It was presumed that it was going to hit North America somewhere.
Couldn't you figure that out
didn't know
precisely?
Where. Well,
then,
it's 1979, and it was going to come down.
Okay. Do you remember where it landed?
You don't know where the cosmic winds are going to take it.
Yeah, right. I think the ocean, but I don't know.
In Western Australia, it's a scattering debris across the Indian Ocean in Western Australia.
Yeah.
Poor Perth.
Yeah,
we didn't know enough back then to know when this thing was going to hit, how it was going to hit. But it was Skylab was falling, and they knew it months in advance. Do you remember, Don?
Well, we didn't have Elon Musk back then to tell us where exactly it was going to hit. So if you want to know where I get my love of pranks, so during that time, and I guess I was, I don't know, 10 or something like that, my dad, because my dad was one of those guys who'd like take the car engine apart every day just for fun and put it back together, and there would always be leftover parts. So he actually took like a rotor off the car, and he, you know, he painted like Lab Sky and a bunch of numbers on it, and he threw it on our neighbor's yard. And they came out the next day and found it, and they called the FBI and everything.
Wow, yeah, you got a Skylab story.
Yeah, I did.
Now, the odds of that, 1 in 5 trillion.
Wow.
I've been waiting to tell that Skylab. When I told Dawson, he goes, Adam will bring it up. So I got a great Skylab story.
Yeah, it was going to hit the Earth, and we didn't know where, and it turned into a whole sort of cultural thing that Skylab was falling.
Wow.
And I don't know if they narrowed it down or not, but the fun, I guess, was where's it going to hit? And, you know, you're picturing, it could hit the White House it hit a pyramid, you know, like it was like we didn't know it. It made for, you know, simple fun back then.
Was it like every Jack Parr and Johnny Carson monologue?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it made it right into the zeitgeist. It was right up there with Billie Jean King and what's his name?
Bobby Riggs.
Things would really, you know, pre-internet, word of mouth, shit worked, though. Yeah. Like, everyone knew. Yep. Everyone knew the joke, and it probably, yes, it was worked into every sitcom and monologue, late night monologue. Yeah, Skylab.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you hear who the new sexiest man alive is?
No.
Do you want to? One of
Black
Hollywood's.
Guy? Mm-mm. What? Mm-mm. No?
Cis white male.
What?
One
What's
of the
going on?
Most eligible bachelors is the sexiest man alive, according to People magazine. Stephen Colbert revealed on his show, with the help of formerly sexiest Dwayne Johnson, this year to announce Chris Evans. The Captain America star joked about the honor, saying his mom will be so happy because it's another thing she can be proud of. I know you can relate, Adam. Mm-hmm. And in response, his mother told People she's not surprised at all. And this is just who he is, par for the course. He's 41, not had a steady girlfriend apparently since 4 years ago when he split with SNL alum Jenny Slate.
Did not know that.
And his longest relationship was with Minka Kelly. That's almost a decade ago. So I don't know. Maybe he's
I'm hearing
open.
Gay.
Yeah.
I heard he's hosting the White Power Ball this year.
Oh, shit.
So
that'll hurt his chances for the repeat.
Yeah, I think so.
So sexiest man alive, winning the lottery or getting your house hit by a piece of Skylab. Yeah. All probably
right there.
Low percentage. Things.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. He's Captain America, right?
And he's the one, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the one that we were all supposed to rally around and stop showing his penis pictures because he was getting depressed.
Oh,
right?
That. Yeah, like big hog guy.
Big hog guy. And it accidentally got out and he got super depressed and was full of anxiety. But it seemed like he had much to be proud of.
Again, the only pictures of celebrities or rappers or people who are household names whose dick pics escape their phone are guys who miraculously have huge dicks. And I don't think it's a coincidence.
Yeah, ours has never been out there.
No, I got dozens of dick pics. Yeah.
Nobody takers.
Nobody wants one.
I hope he called on Tommy Lee to console him after that tragedy.
I did remember Bezos had a dick pic?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely blocked that out.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos.
Bezos is a dick pic.
Yeah. Really, all he has to do is pull his turtleneck up and it'll look European. he Bezos had a dick pic from like 3 years ago that I recall. And
oh, and he was seeing the reporter?
Sanchez.
Yeah, there was and I just – but it's a weird – it's a weird impulse to do the dick pic, right?
When you're young, I think you do it a little bit more, but I don't. Jeff Bezos, I mean, this is a guy I'm worried about, and I'm a thousandaire. He's a multi-billionaire who looks like a penis, by the way. Like, there should be a little opening at the top of his head, a little slit.
I used to do this bit where I'd say, there is no reason for me to do a dick pic. There's nothing going on. I mean, you know, I don't have a dog leg. I don't have that. Some of those guys have those super veiny dicks. Like they're
sure.
Their dicks look like Wolverine's neck.
Chris Evans.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, like, taking a picture of my dick would be like you walking down the street and go, whoa, what is that? A Camry? Oh, it's got a cloth interior. Get over here.
Yeah. It's great.
It's beige on beige. Yeah. What's that? Let me check the taillights. What's that, 89?
A window crank?
Oh, it's under 100,000 miles, 86,000 on there. Get a shot of this. Like, why would you? There's no – so I guess the guys – everyone takes pictures of their dogs, regardless of how homely their dogs are. But dick pics are a much more selective group.
Yeah.
You dogs, need a, not dogs.
Yes.
Right. I love that charity.
You need
a T-shirt.
You need to do something. It needs to require a picture. And I think the average Joe guy, Joe Dickpack, he doesn't
– well done.
He's not taking a – Joe 5.5-pack.
Yeah.
He's not taking
Joe Q pubic?
That's right. He's not taking a picture. But Bezos has – had the picture.
So what was the verdict with the picture?
I don't, Chris, did you, is it out there? And then I guess he's probably has the ability to get that thing cleaned scrubbed up off the internet.
That would cost him thousands to get that off.
All the people. But there was a Bezos dick pic from like 4 years ago.
I don't think that's what we ladies were looking for, so we didn't notice. You know, we've seen the John Hamms and the Chris Evans, but I don't think Bezos was on our radar.
His dick pic came and went. Everything's a double entendre when you talk about dick pics. And he must have a team of lawyers, the cleanup crew. You know, yes.
Every website that was hosting the picture is using Amazon Web Services.
Right.
She said, fuck you guys.
It was an Amazon Prime size.
But I'm not making that up, right? There was a
story. You're
not
making it up. It was like a blackmail attempt. And they sold them to the National Enquirer.
Now, speaking of blackmails, that's who I use for my dick pic.
I had a girlfriend right before that metal show started. I had a girlfriend. I was coming out of the shower, and she took a shot of me.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, the lighting or maybe the wind was blowing the right way through the window. Like, I had a great hang.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's the best picture my penis could ever possibly take. And then we broke up, and then I was doing that metal show. So she's like, oh, you know, you're a big shot now. How about if I put the picture of you that I took on the internet? I'm like, yeah, put it out there, please. I'll set the website up if you want. I know. That's the greatest photo advertising I can get as a single guy.
I think a lot of it is predicated on what you look like. The same way with that, you know, Playboy do the women over 40 or whatever, and she's so brave. It's like the ones that look great over 40 pose.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, Gina.
Let's talk about those handy blue boxes. That's where you put your mail, and that's what we all do, and they're safe and they're great. Oh, wait, they're not. The United States Postal Service is now warning people that those blue boxes are not good options for mailing things. As Adam would say, like, where do we live? What year is this? This is an indicator of our society. In a press release, the United States Postal Service explained that the collection bins have become hotspots for criminals looking to steal identities or checks or packages at specific times. The agency says the biggest variable enticing these criminals to steal are customers depositing mail in those boxes after the last collection of the day or during the weekend or federal holidays. USPS is advising people to avoid them altogether and go to an actual location.
Yeah, it's sad.
Everything's great.
Chris was telling me, well, you know, we talked about this earlier, which is you can study graphics, the graphs and statistics, or you can just walk into the Rite Aid and see everything is locked up behind a Lucite wall. You know what I mean? And go, not a good sign for criminality. Chris was telling me before the show, they made a bust of the catalytic converter guy, the black ring, the ring that steals the catalytic converters off of cars. They found how many?
About $585 million worth of.
Oh, my.
It was a national theft ring.
Right. But this is sort of, it's like, you know, like when you hear about stories about Lady Gaga got her dog kidnapped and stuff, like when we're getting into third world crime here, kidnapping of dogs, getting a Sawzall 4 a.m. and hacking off someone's catalytic converter underneath there, stealing from the mailbox. These, you know, stealing all the cartridges for the razors at the Save-On. These are, we're getting into some scary territory. Not because of the actual number of sales lost. It's more of a societal thing.
It's a developing nation thing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that none of them got stolen during the last election. That was weird.
None of the
ballots got stolen out of any of the mailboxes.
Are you an election denier? Oh, really? Tell us.
I'm just saying that she's saying people are stealing stuff out of mailboxes, not stealing ballots.
Well, let's talk about that. Do you guys, are you with me in that I want to get back to Election Day? There's this thing where they go, they're going to be counting ballots out of Pennsylvania. This could go on for a while.
Well, you know,
we're not going to know, blah, blah, blah.
One of the reasons that reminded me to go was because somebody online said, remember, November 8th isn't the first day to vote. It's the last day. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll get it done.
But can we do a thing? Like, to me, it's like, here is the day you vote. And then you just vote, and we'll carve out certain things for military veterans who are abroad or something. Like, you can mail shit in, and maybe people that are, sequestered to their homes because they're elderly or something. But in general, can we just get back to showing up, voting, we count, and that night, turn on the news, and we'll find out who won what?
So basically, Election Day should be a federal holiday. No, but that's what I'm saying in terms of closing school banks.
But also, it's a strange thing. Like, I was talking, it's up there with voter ID. It's like, show your ID, vote, go fuck home. And if, in fact, you do not possess a valid ID in 2022 living in the United States, then I don't want your vote counted. That you're not whatever you're doing, you're not participating in this thing where we pay taxes and we elect people and we have laws and stuff. You're not participating in this society if you cannot obtain an ID in 2008. You're not flying. You're not getting a job. You're not paying taxes. Like, fine, we'll do that. And the hard luck vote stories, like I was listening to Stacey Abrams, who's already sort of setting the table for how she's going to get robbed in the election. She was like, whoever she's running against, she's like, if you're going to go wait in line to vote, you better bring your own water, because under the voter suppression law, it's illegal for someone to bring you a cup of water. I'm like, okay, I think you could show up with your own water, not even hydrate at all. I don't know. It's 61 degrees outside.
You didn't run a marathon to get online.
Yeah, where are we at with the bar? Show up, vote, we'll count, and we'll call it a day, and then we would all know that night who won what.
You're making a lot of sense. I think I'm turning you around on this right here. Employers have to give employees time off to vote. Everyone under this roof is here all day long. Take off a couple hours to vote.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Like, businesses have to be closed that day.
No, I'm like, I thought about it. I know where the polling place is. I got a busy schedule, but I have like an hour in between things when I'm going home. I'm just going to go in and vote. Like, we've turned it into something. Like, last year we were talking, or 2 years ago, we were talking about, like, but what about COVID? But what about COVID? It's like, do you go to the Trader Joe's?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then you can vote. Then you could show up and vote.
Yeah.
But what about the trans community?
They
are marginalized during this time.
Get the fuck out of your dad's basement and vote. Like, just go. Here's the day. There's a long lead up to it. This is the day we're going to vote. Go vote that day. Or don't.
Yeah. And it's the most racist thing to say there's certain people who can't procure an ID somehow in the United States of America. I was in Vegas 2 weeks ago. And I went to the bar to get a drink, and the guy carded me, which I don't mind. Nice. You know, I'm almost in my 40s. And I give him the guy my ID. And my license actually had expired that day, which I didn't know, and I hadn't gotten a new one in. And he goes, I'm sorry, I can't serve you. This expired today.
Really?
I'm like, so, but anybody else could that just like waltzed across the border can walk in somewhere and go, I don't have an ID, but let
it's
me
not,
vote.
It's not that you're no longer that age.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with him.
Doesn't it expire on your birthday?
Yes.
Yeah.
You didn't know it was your birthday? Oh, you didn't know.
Well, I knew it was my birthday.
You're going to celebrate.
They send them in the mail. You just get them or whatever.
Yes.
What a shitty birthday present.
When you're 56, you're not expecting to be carded in Vegas.
No, I know. Yeah. What they did is they did this stupid thing. I'll tell you the depressing thing is when you go into the 7-Eleven and you're just standing there and you're seeing that sign behind the thing, which is if you weren't born February 2001,
yeah.
I was on my fifth marriage. Like you're like, what the fuck? How old am I? People that are born in 2001 could buy a six-pack all above the board
and
walk right out
them.
Of here? Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
Tucson Rialto Theater, December 15th. You can go over there and watch me do stand-up, and then it's the Improv. That'll be December 16th, 17th in Tempe. Do some live pod there, and we'll do some stand-up there as well. Don's got dates, and what you should do, where's the web? Oh, go to donjamison.com if you want more of those dates. It's going to be in Tampa coming up. It's going to be in Boca Raton coming up as well. You can listen to Spotify. Oh, by the way, the comedy album, Terrorizing yes. Telemarketer 7, is what you should listen to. I want to thank Ed for coming in and Don for coming in and Ed for zooming in. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Don and Edward and Bald and Gina saying mahalo.
He's a whore.
Make sure you get your copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.